the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations make free time available to present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is Son of Phermutis, the second of two special Passover programs on the early life of Moses written by Morton Wishengrand. Now, this script is based in part on The Legends of the Jews by Dr. Louis Ginsberg.
In the 130th year after Israel's going down to Egypt, Pharaoh dreamed a dream.
Behold, I saw an old man holding a balance in his hand, and in one scale of the balance he put all the great men of Egypt. And in the other scale of the balance he put a tender kid. And the kid bore down the scale in which it lay. Wise men of Egypt, interpret for me my dream.
Pharaoh, shall I speak?
Let my court be silent. Balaam, the son of Beor, speaks.
Majesty, a great evil springs up against Egypt. A son will be born unto Israel who will destroy all our elders and nobles and warriors. He is the tender kid foretold in your dream.
Death is before me this day, and I am wretched. Balaam, what shall be done?
If it seemeth good to the king, let him order that all the male children born in Israel from this day shall be drowned in the river Nile.
Balaam, you will be rewarded for this. Bailiffs, send your men into the houses of the Israelites to discover all their newborn children.
Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river. And she saw an ark among the bulrushes, and in it a boy that wept. And she had compassion on him and said,
This is one of the Hebrews' children.
Put him back in the river, princess.
No, my lady.
It will go hard for anyone who transgresses the edict of Pharaoh, even you, princess. Let me put the child back into the water.
Hush, little one. Oh, how vehemently he weeps. My lady, in all the years of my marriage, I have been barren. Here is a child to end my barren years.
And your husband and Pharaoh, how shall it be explained to them?
My lady, do you not notice that I was somewhat pale this morning?
No, princess, I did not.
Oh, but I was pale indeed. And yesterday morning also, more than pallor. There was the telltale sickness of women in the time of their quickening.
But, princess, I did not observe it, and I have been with you.
Nevertheless, you will tell it to my husband. Say it casually, as though he knew. You will see how easily it can be managed. Oh, he is a pretty child.
Born somewhat before his time, princess.
Stranger things have happened in Egypt. Come, we will give him out to nurse until he is ready to be born.
And in this way it came about that Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, was nurse to a son of Israel. And when the child was weaned, she brought him to the daughter of Pharaoh. Now, when Moses was in his second year, the princess Phermutis took him, and they sat together with Pharaoh.
Daughter, give the child to me. I would hold him a moment.
And Moses sat in the lap of Pharaoh. And then the child reached up and took the crown from the king's head and placed it on his own. And
Phermutis.
There was a great silence.
Phermutis, explain this thing to me.
I Oh, this is merely child's play. Why is Pharaoh angry?
It is more than child's play. It is the larger meaning. Balaam, you saw it. Moses took the crown from my head.
I saw it, Your Majesty.
What else, Balaam?
I tremble to say it.
Do not hold your tongue, speak.
This is no ordinary child. He has grown beyond his years. His understanding is with him. This child wears your crown with malice.
And he means to deprive me of it?
It cannot be doubted.
What shall be done to him?
Let us spill his blood upon the ground.
Father, do not listen to him.
Be still, Thaumutus. Continue, madam.
Let us spill his blood upon the ground before he snatches the government of Egypt from your hands.
No!
Princess! Leave the child and go.
Pharaoh will slay me also, but I do not go. He had no consciousness of what he did. What is this foretelling of doom and death? Any child will play the crown as a pretty bauble to him no more.
Answer her, Balaam.
We shall see if the child acted without consciousness. Here is a stone of onyx. And there the brazier is a burning coal. Place the precious stone and the coal side by side.
What nonsense is this?
It is no nonsense. We test the child. If he stretches out his hand and grasps the coal of fire, he is only a child, and he will live. But if he seizes the precious stone, he dies. Balaam, prepare the test.
Then the child Moses stretched forth his hand toward the onyx stone and attempted to seize it. But with a silent rush of wings, an angel of the Lord guided the hand of Moses away from it and placed it on the live coal. And the coal burned the child's hand. And he lifted it up and touched it to his mouth, and it burned his tongue. Seeing which, Pharaoh smiled.
You see, Balaam, a simple child acting without knowledge. Take him, Thaumutus. No harm will befall him. Let him grow and have no fear.
Princess, come outdoors. The wind is fragrant.
Go yourself, my lady, and ask the boy to come to me.
Are you nursemaid or princess?
I wonder myself. Ah, these years have been good to him. Return with him, my lady, while I read to him.
He reads by himself. You dote on him more than his own mother would.
My lady, I am his mother.
Oh, I meant only...
I'm not as concerned with what you meant. Moses is the son of Thaumutus.
Yes, princess.
My lady, I know your loyalty these 7 years. And if I rebuke you now, it is only because sometimes I am frightened for him.
You were right to rebuke me. I prattle too much. I will fetch him for you.
Stay a moment. I will tell you what I shall read to him today. O living Aton, born in the sky every day, millions of life are in thee. All flowers that live and what grows in the soil, they are drunken before thee. All cattle skip upon their feet. The birds in the marsh fly with joy. Their wings that were folded are spread, uplifted in adoration to the living Aton, the Maker.
I marvel. Will the boy Moses sit still while you read such things to him?
He is not like any child I have ever seen. He sits. He listens. He remembers. There is none like Moses in all of Egypt. Now bring him, my lady.
Thus it came to pass in those days that when Moses had grown beyond childhood, he knew not that he was an Israelite. And when he was a man, he went one day into the land of Goshen, where the Israelites labored their burdens.
Prince, what is it? Why do you stand fixed to one place?
Even a beast of the field should not be made to toil like these.
They are Israelite slaves.
They fall under their burden.
A slave is a slave. Prince Moses, come this way. I will show you the great stone pyramids that rise out of the sand.
No. No, I would speak to that man there.
It is not seemly that a prince of the palace of Pharaoh should converse with an Israelite.
Call him to me.
Prince, these slaves are in my charge. I am forbidden by command of Pharaoh.
Overseer, call him to me now.
As Moses commands... Hey, you, drop your burden and come here.
Drop it?
It is what I said.
Overseer, I would speak to him alone.
Alone?
Alone.
As the prince wishes, but this shall have to be told in the palace.
Then you will tell it. Israelite, are you afraid of me?
Yes.
Why?
You are a prince.
I mean you no harm.
You are an Egyptian.
Turn and let me see your back. There is blood on it.
Yes.
Who made it bleed?
No one. I fell.
You were whipped.
I fell.
Whose whip was it?
No whip. I fell.
The overseer cannot hear us.
I told you I fell.
I shall come again and bring ointment to cover the open wounds on your back.
I want no favors from you.
It is not for you, slave. I do it because I must. Now come. I will help you lift your burden.
You are dressed like an Egyptian. You speak like an Egyptian.
Come. I will help you.
No. If you help me, there will be no shred of skin to cover my back.
Then it was he who whipped you.
I did not say it.
Israelite, take hold of the stone.
We lift it together.
In the fields of Goshen that day, a prince of Egypt labored with the children of Israel. And the overseer of Pharaoh beheld the thing from a distance and was sore in his heart. That day, no whip tore a furrow in a man's back, and the groaning of the slaves was heard no more. And Pharaoh's overseer went to the palace to complain against Moses.
Balaam, since when do my overseers presume to speak against a prince of the royal house?
Whenever it becomes necessary to defend the honor of the royal house.
How have we been dishonored?
Let your overseer speak, Pharaoh. He will tell you.
Speak out, man. Say what you have to say.
Majesty, in the fields of Goshen yesterday, the prince Moses went among your Israelite slaves.
Where was the harm in it?
No harm to go among the majesty, but much harm to bend his back like theirs, to shoulder their burdens, to toil in the sun like a slave.
Balaam, this man lies.
I say what is true, O Pharaoh.
You lie in your throat.
Let Pharaoh punish me if I lie.
Do not doubt that I will. Balaam.
Sire.
Send me Moses. I would speak to him at once.
It has already been done, your majesty. Your soldiers seek him out even now.
I would ask my mother a question.
After you have spoken to Pharaoh.
I would ask it now, my mother.
Later. The king has summoned you. Moses, why do you delay?
Because I am troubled. Mother, I went among those I have never seen before, yet it seemed to me that I had come to a familiar place, that each Israelite face was familiar to me.
It is absurd, my son.
I know. Yet, Mother, I have not slept because of it. Explain it to me.
Pharaoh is waiting. We will talk of it later.
Mother, I must talk of it now. Who am I to these Israelites and they to me that I have no sleep because of them?
Moses is a grown man who asks a child's question.
I have more such questions. Mother, I have lived here among my royal kinsmen, yet I have never seen my father, nor does my mother make mention of him except to say that he is dead. Princess, who was my father? What was his name?
I will tell you the name of my father. It is Pharaoh, king over Egypt, and quick to anger against those whom he summons and do not come. If you do not wish to die, you will go to him without delay. And you will be careful of the words you choose.
Very well, Mother. I go to Pharaoh. But I will come back to you, and I will have my answers.
Moses, here is the man who accuses you. Tell him he speaks falsely, and let me kill him for it.
Pharaoh, he has told you the truth.
By the gods of Egypt, say he slanders you and save your life.
I will not say it.
Fool, I have 1,000 officers. What difference to me, one more or less?
It is true that I shouldered the burdens of the Israelites.
Why?
Because I heard them cry out in their pain.
Are you a prince of Egypt or a milksop that the cry of a slave can unman you? Balaam, what is to be done here?
Overseer, when the prince Moses, forgetting who he was, labored among the Israelites, Did they speak in rebellion?
They did not.
What did they?
They worked as before.
And did they cry out as before? Well?
I did not think of it until now, but they did not cry out.
You are certain?
Yes, Pharaoh, I am certain. They ceased their cries.
A curious thing, Balaam.
Sire, I believe Moses performed better than he knew. There is wit and subtlety in all this.
How so, Balaam?
If a prince of the royal house assumes a slave's burden and makes no outcry, even a slave must do no less. Because of what Moses has done, we shall get more work from them now, without complaint. Pharaoh, let Moses go as often as he pleases to Goshen. The work will advance for it.
Well, Moses, what say you to Balaam?
I will go again.
This pleases us.
I have amused Pharaoh.
You have.
I would amuse him further.
And not too much amusement. I am not accustomed to it. Say on.
Pharaoh, when a field is dug, planted, harvested, dug again over and over, what is it that happens?
Let Balaam answer.
The field grows thin and gives no yield.
And Balaam, is this not why the sensible husbandman allows his field to lie fallow?
The point is well taken.
Moreover, does the plowman work his oxen day after day until they drop in the field?
There's no profit in that.
Pharaoh, a field is permitted to lie fallow. Oxen rest one day in the stall, but the slaves of Pharaoh have no respite. I have seen them stagger under their burdens, their step grown slow and fallen to the ground in exhaustion. Now, if one day in seven they were permitted to rest,
they would not die so soon.
They would not, Pharaoh.
And Balaam, I wager they would produce no less.
They would produce more. Moses is a subtle man. But I wonder, is he subtle in Pharaoh's behalf or in behalf of the slaves of Pharaoh?
No matter. I must look to my own profit. Moses, this pleases us. What shall be done?
Let the king command that the children of Israel serve 6 days in the field, but on the seventh day they shall do no manner of labor.
We are amused. Balaam, go among my officers and proclaim this. Say, this is the commandment of the king through Moses, his royal servant.
In the land of Egypt, where the children of Israel were enslaved, there came through Moses the commandment for the king's Sabbath. And if the children of Israel rejoiced because of it, there was an overseer of the king who did not rejoice, but planned vengeance.
Egyptian, why do you come to me with a whip?
Why do you think?
I do my work.
You spoke to him.
He made me speak.
I am the only one to make you. Now I unmake you.
No more. Overseer, that will be enough.
Moses.
You have done enough to him. Let him be.
The son of the mutest. Medals and things not his concern. Now take your hands from me.
When you put that whip down.
I will tell you something. In Pharaoh's palace, you could have spoken one word and I would have died. You were a fool not to speak that word.
Perhaps. But you will put that whip down.
And I will tell you something more. There are some to whom you must never do a favor. They will hate you always for it as I hate you. Now stand back, Prince, and let me whip my Hebrew. I cannot kill you, but by my gods, I'll kill him.
Israelite, I promise he will not whip you anymore.
I believe you.
Why do you stare at me?
With what did you strike him?
You saw. With my hand.
Not your hand alone, Moses. God and your hand.
The whipping has made you foolish. Help me pick him up.
I will help you dig a grave for him. The Egyptian is dead.
In a field of Goshen, they dug a pit for the Egyptian and covered him over with earth. But the thing became known. And on the day following, the man Dathan of the tribe of Reuben went to the place and began to dig in it.
Dathan, why are you digging in this ground?
to find the Egyptian you buried yesterday. You thought you were not seen. You were mistaken. Abiram saw and I saw.
What do you mean to do?
To uncover the body and bring it to Pharaoh. He will reward me.
Here is your reward, Doctor.
Hold your fists.
What for? I will close this one's mouth forever as you both closed the mouth of the Egyptian yesterday.
Who are you?
He is the slave Dathan of the tribe of Reuben. Moses, he goes to Pharaoh to inform against us.
Dathan, you will inform against no one.
Who made you a ruler and a judge over the tribes of Israel that you are so sure?
I say you will not go.
Son of Jochebed, I will go.
What did you call me?
A man should be called by his true name. Those who call you the son of Thermutis are fools.
Fools?
You are Moses, the son of Jochebed, the daughter of Levi. Strike me down, Hebrew, because today I bring Pharaoh the body of a dead Egyptian, and I tell him who you are.
Look at me, my mother. Do not turn your face away.
My son, my face has always been turned toward you. And your heart has ever been with mine in the house of hearts.
Then the Israelite lied to me.
You killed an Egyptian. Why did you stay your hand against the Israelite?
Mother, say that he lied.
If I say it, I will be damned. I shall eat no cakes of Osiris on the Easter side of the Lake of Flowers.
Then I was never your son.
Ever my son. And never my son. I cradled you among the lotus flowers and brought you myrrh to smell. But the Hebrew woman Jochebed brought the milk of her breasts for you.
Jochebed. That was the name he said. Where will I find her?
She sleeps in her last chamber. Her head is wrapped up. Her nostrils stopped.
And my father?
Like Jochebed, dead many years. Better for them that they do not see you this way. Oh, Moses, my son, I can no longer help you. An Israelite bore you, an Egyptian saved you, and now an Israelite destroys you.
Do not weep for me yet, Mother. Tell me, have I brother or sister?
There was a girl whose name was Miriam, and a boy she called Aaron. More than that, I cannot tell you.
I will find them.
Not in Egypt. Every hand is against you.
Then I shall find them another time. Mother, tell me, where shall I go now?
Beyond Egypt lies the land of Midian. You could be safe there.
I would kiss you, my mother.
Oh, Moses, my son. I shall never see you again.
Now Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he lived with Jethro and took Zipporah, the daughter of Jethro, for his wife. And it came to pass in the course of these many days that the king of Egypt died, and a new king rose in that land and increased the bondage of the children of Israel. Then God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And the angel of the Lord went to Mount Horeb, where Moses was keeping flock of his father-in-law. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto Moses in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And Moses looked, and beheld the bush burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And Moses answered,
Here am I.
And God said, Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground.
Who speaks to me? Who are you?
And he said to Moses, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people that are in Egypt, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up into a good land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey.
Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bringeth forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
And Moses said unto God,
Who am I that I should go alone unto Pharaoh?
And the Lord God of Israel said unto Moses, I will go with thee.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage and handling to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York, 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting Mr. Theodore Curtis, prominent Detroit business and civic leader. Mr. Curtis.
In this hour of crisis for mankind, when the foundations of man's inalienable rights to free living are threatened by the foes of freedom, the story of Moses and the exodus of the ancient Israelites from Egypt strikes a heartwarming chord. The biblical account of the liberation of the children of Israel from bondage should inspire all of us with the recognition of the laws of a moral order which function with absolute definiteness. The free spirit of man cannot be suppressed. It has a way of breaking through walls and cutting through steel. Freedom is more than liberation from chains and deliverance from bondage. It is a growing spirit which must be felt within. In a profounder sense, it is an internal force moving men to the highest levels of fulfillment. If freedom is to be attained and perpetuated, it must be of the quality which imposes loyalties, responsibilities, and attachment to the highest values life has to offer. No man is free to do as he pleases unless he's willing to exchange freedom for license. To keep America free, we must go beyond the mobilization of armed forces, beyond the building of faster planes, and beyond the development of war strategy. We must appropriate the basic values of democracy and guard them with our lives. The preservation of America's most treasured blessing, liberty, begins with our individual loyalties to the sacred traditions which made America what it is. It connotes an unqualified attachment to our religious and cultural heritage. And it implies a thorough conviction in the sanctity of man and the rights to his individuality. When freedom thus begins within ourselves, there is no cause for fear. Nothing can stifle man's free spirit on the march. This is the message of the story of the Exodus as reflected in the observance of the festival of Passover. The biblical inscription on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia holds out even today that invincible hope to all free men. Proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all the inhabitants thereof.
Thank you, Mr. Curtis. Our eternal light drama today, Son of Thermutis, was the second of two special Passover programs on the early life of Moses and was written by Morton Wishengrad. The poem in this script is taken from Development of Religion and Thought in Ancient Egypt by J.H. Breasted, published by Charles Scribner's and Sons, New York. Cantor Robert Siegel sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Joan Loring as Thermutis, Donald Bucha as Moses, and Raymond Edward Johnson as Pharaoh. The music was composed by Morris Momorsky and conducted by Milton Catons. The production was under the direction of Edward King. This is Mel Brandt speaking. The Eternal Light will not be heard next week, in order we may bring you a special program of national importance.